Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you.
So good to see you here. For those of you that are new, my name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to be speaking this morning. We are in a series right now called Formed in Christ, and during the Lent season, we are looking at the 8 character traits that are in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This is a season where we are preparing our hearts, taking time to pray and to fast, and looking forward to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. Lent is a really, really special time. And over the course of this series, we've talked about several things, but I want to say this scripture together. And will you stand just as we say this together? It's going to be on the screen, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Let's say this together. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love for everyone. Last week, as we talked about knowledge, Pastor Brad said this: true knowledge is found in knowing Christ and knowing His word. That was, I was so challenged by that and encouraged by that. And I would encourage you, if you missed any week of the series, check it out on the podcast. And today, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. So if you have the scriptures with you, open up to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to download YouVersion. It's a really helpful Bible app, and that's what it's really easy to change different translations. As of this morning, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. That's the NLT that you can select on a digital device and follow along. There are 4 Gospels in the New Testament. And what the Gospels are is they are written accounts of the life and the ministry of Jesus. And Matthew is the first of these 4 Gospels. And Matthew, who writes this gospel, was a disciple of Jesus and records firsthand the things he witnessed and experienced. And where we're at right now in this section of the gospel, Jesus has been with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's been with them praying. And as he's praying, one of his disciples comes towards him to betray him. Let's look at verse 47. Matthew 26, starting at verse 47, it says this: "And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They'd been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal: 'You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss.' So Judas came straight to Jesus. 'Greetings, Rabbi,' he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, 'My friend, go and do what you have come for.' Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him, but one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. 'Put away your sword,' Jesus told him. 'Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?' Then Jesus said to the crowd, 'Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures.' And at that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled." Today, we're going to talk about how self-control isn't lost slowly, it's lost suddenly. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word and just the opportunity to be together and to open it and to be encouraged and to be changed. I pray that as we look at this story, that we would be just compelled to draw close to you and to your word and what it means for us today. It is alive, it is active, and may we be transformed by it. And as I speak, I want to speak what you want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. And ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So on a scale of 1 to 10, full audience participation, this is what we call an all skate, okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your self-control? 1 is very low, so I got my friend Craig just puts up a 0. That's great. That's great. 1 is, I've got no idea what we're talking about. What is self-control? 5 is, it totally depends on the situation. And rating yourself a 10 means that you yourself could write a book about self-control. So what number would you give yourself? Okay, so just take just a moment. What number would you give yourself? Where would you rate yourself on self-control? Okay, now hang on to that, okay? Hang on to that. For me, I would say that I feel like I'm a solid 8, which I'm sure my family, now hearing that I'm talking about self-control, can't believe that I'm the one that's up here talking about it. They're like, this guy, are you serious? But I feel confident, I feel in control. 8 is a good number for me. But have you ever noticed how confident we can feel about our self-control up until the moment when it's tested? You can be having a great day. You're feeling spiritual. You don't want to boast, but you are rocking this follower of Jesus thing. Like you are dripping in the holiness of God. You would even say that you are feeling patient. You would even say that you are feeling kind. And maybe you would even say that as a human being today, I feel pretty mature. I'm God's gift to the world. And then something happens. Something happens. Again, what number did you give yourself? 1. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Maybe some of you, you're upwards, you're past 5, you're in the 6-7 range. Do you still feel good about that? How about when a kid says the same thing for the 19th time? How about when traffic backs up? How about when a parent asks you a question that just hits a nerve? And you're like, I can't believe they just asked me that question again. Like, bro. What about when you're scrolling and that video that you want to watch just will not stop buffering and you're grinding your teeth? You're like, come on, load already. What about when someone talks to you like you're stupid and you feel disrespected? Something changes in you, and boy, it changes fast. 1 second, you're fine, and the next second, something inside of you goes, oh, we're doing this. I remember a moment that I lost self-control. I was interning at a church. I was leading worship in the high school student ministry. I was also a small group leader. And one Wednesday night, I'm running late to practice, and I'm on the highway, and I'm making my way out of one of the merge lanes when this red Jeep just comes out of nowhere, changes into my lane, cuts me off, makes me slam on my brakes, and I'm not exaggerating. It is a miracle from God that I did not run into them. I couldn't believe it. My hands started shaking, and suddenly, not slowly, suddenly something in me snapped, and I was like, ho, we're doing this, and we're doing this now. And in that moment, I experienced transformation, but it was not the transformation of the Holy Spirit. I was transformed into Vin Diesel from Fast and Furious. Had the muscles, I had the white t-shirt, I had the shaved head, and I was just, we're doing this. And so I slammed on that gas pedal, I changed lanes, and I sped up around him, and then I cut him off in front of him, and I slammed on my brakes so that he'd have to slam on his brakes. Woo! And then all of a sudden, I can't believe I'm about to say this because I'm not proud of what happened next. Honestly, I'm not proud of any of this, people. But I'm especially not proud of what happened next. I'm in the heat of the moment. My adrenaline is pumping so much I can taste it. And so I roll down my window and I stick my hand out and I throw him one of our core church invite cards that we have on the seats here. He's got to be at church. He needs Jesus too. No, I didn't do that. Nope, sure didn't do that. And this is church. We can't lie. Well, you shouldn't lie anywhere, but especially in church. So I roll the window down and I stick my arm out and stick my hand out and I point the way to heaven. I make a very rude and very inappropriate gesture. And please don't judge me. This guy, this is who we got to speak, Pastor Brad. There wasn't anybody else that you could have gotten to speak on this topic. Oh, man. I'm the right guy. Oh, my goodness. This is human nature, people. This is what we do. If we're being honest, some of you on the way to church this morning, you lost your self-control. You were like, I am this close from losing my religion, and we are going to the house of worship. What's going on here? Whew, this is one of those messages where you just need to be reminded, those without sin may cast the first stone, okay? So, we're all at a level playing field here, and I know you heard Pastor Brad say this recently, but I will say this again. It is stories like this that remind us this is why we do not have Core Church bumper stickers. That's why we don't. Whew, so I'm still in the moment. I'm still heated. I'm rolling up my window. And as I'm putting my hands on the steering wheel, I got to be honest, like I had no idea what just happened. I'm shaking. I can feel my heart just about to beat out of my chest and I'm hyperventilating. I'm trying to catch my breath. And I'm like, what just happened? I am on the way to lead worship in a student ministry. I'm a leader. I'm supposed to be showing others the way of Jesus, and this isn't it. Like, what just happened? And then my phone rings. I look down at the caller ID, and I see that it's Brody, the student, one of the musicians in the band. He's the one of the high school students. He's playing drums, and so I flip the phone open, which this shows when that was. But flip the phone open, and I answer it as quick as I can. I say, Brody, I know. I'm sorry. I'll be there in about 5 minutes. I'm just running late. And he says, "Boy, you sure are driving fast." And so zero. Oh, and I look in the rearview mirror, you guys, and I realize that he's the one in the red Jeep behind me. He's the one I cut off. He's the one I gestured at. And I got to be honest, that was the longest drive to the church with him behind me. But I get to the church and I meet him in the parking lot and I own it. Like I didn't try to cover it up. I didn't try to make excuses. And I'm like, dude, I am so sorry. And he tries to brush it off. Like, look, you know, we all have our days. Not a big deal. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is wrong. And I'm supposed to be a leader and an influence in your life. And what I just did is wrong. And so I confessed to him my sin in the parking lot. And then we went in and when everybody else gathered to practice, I gathered them all in a circle and I was like, look, here's what just happened. Here's what I did. We've talked about this. He and I have prayed, but I'm going to confess to you all. Will you pray for me? Scripture says, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. That's what we did, and then we practiced. And the Holy Spirit just kind of took care of the rest from there. But church, I would have told you that I had self-control. I would have even gone so far as to say that I feel like it's one of my strengths until it's tested. And that is the scary part for each and every one of us, because it is not a matter of if, it will be tested. And this is what I want you to write down, because this is what we're really going to wrap our minds around as we continue. Self-control isn't lost slowly. It's lost suddenly. In that moment in the car when my adrenaline was running, I didn't get on the phone and ask some friends what my response should be. How should I engage in this moment? That would have been a slow response. No, self-control isn't lost slowly. It's lost suddenly. Suddenly, in a moment, when we're suddenly out of control and we allow ourselves to act in a way that's not in line with who we are and not in line with who we want to be. And if we're being honest, we've all had moments like that. Maybe yours wasn't road rage. Maybe it was words that you spoke and you couldn't believe that those words came out of your mouth. Maybe it was a link that you clicked that later on you regretted. Maybe it was something that you bought that you hid, you concealed, you kept it a secret. Maybe it was a habit that you promised that you would stop. Or maybe it was a reaction that shocked you because that reaction came out of you. That's not who we want to be, church. That's not what we want to be known for. As followers of Jesus, we want what's written in 2 Peter, what we've already read together and spoken with our mouths, we want that to be true of us. We want to be known as people of self-control. I don't think any of us would say that we woke up this morning wanting to live careless, reckless, out of control lives. I don't think any of us woke up with that in mind. And the real question we've got to ask ourselves is, what does self-control look like when the moment is bigger than traffic? What does self-control look like when it's not inconvenience, it's betrayal, rejection, unfairness? What does self-control look like when we're being accused of something? What does it look like when we're being disrespected? And how can we respond in the way of Jesus, when everything in us wants to react in a way that we will regret? How do we do that? How do we react and respond in the way of Jesus? Let's look back at the scripture. Look at verse 49 and then the first part of verse 50. It says this, "So Judas came straight to Jesus. 'Greetings, Rabbi,' he exclaimed, and he gave him the kiss." The kiss that Judas said would be the way to identify who needed to be arrested and taken. And here's the response of Jesus. Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." Take just a moment and feel the weight of this. Imagine how this must have felt for Jesus. Like, just sit in that for a second. Imagine how this would have felt for Jesus to be betrayed by such a close friend. Because that's what Judas is. He's not a random enemy in the crowd that's showing up that night. For years, they did life together. Judas saw Jesus love people. Judas saw Jesus perform incredible miracles. He sat at the table with Jesus to enjoy a meal. Judas had access. There was a seat at the table, and it was for him. He saw everything up close. And he didn't just know Jesus' public ministry, he knew him personally. Walking with him, living life day in and day out for years. And Judas makes the decision to betray him, to hand him over. Imagine how that would feel. And based on how you rated your level of self-control, try to imagine what your response would have been in that moment. I can picture mine. But how does Jesus respond? He looks at Judas and says, "My friend." But here's what we need to know. It's not, Jesus doesn't respond that way because he's confused. He doesn't respond that way because he's naive. He doesn't respond that way because he's just kind of responding to the moment because he had no idea what was going to happen. Jesus is very aware of what is happening in this moment. Just before this section in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is with his disciples. He's praying and he asks them to get up and he says to them, "Look, my betrayer is here." Jesus knows what Judas is doing. Jesus knows what's happening. So this is not Jesus missing the moment. This is Jesus mastering the moment. He's not missing a single thing. He's mastering everything about the moment, and that is self-control. That's not numbness. That's not being passive. It's not pretending that it doesn't hurt. Like, this is, Jesus was fully God, but he was fully man. This hurts. Like, talk about being stabbed in the back. So it's not that he's pretending that this doesn't hurt. What Jesus is showing us in this moment is that when it comes to moments like this that we're going to experience, we always have options in how we respond. Always. The way that we respond is up to us. We can't control the other people. We can't control the situation, but we can control how we respond. We've got options for that. And some of them that I kind of like to picture is in this story, when Judas steps in with betrayal, Jesus, he could have responded the same way that often we respond. We react. We just think, like, in the spur of the moment, in the heat of the moment, like I did in that car, we think, "Oh, we're doing this and nothing's going to stop me from doing this." We react and we don't even know what comes after that, but we just react or we retaliate. We can think, "I am going to do everything in my power to make this even." Or we try to take control. And maybe we think, "I am not going to let this happen this way. It is going to happen my way." And what's wild is Jesus, he doesn't do any of those. He looks at Judas and he says, "My friend." Which isn't weakness, it's self-control. And I think that this is Jesus living his own teaching earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We're not going to go there, but just write that down and look at that later. Matthew chapter 5. There's a moment when Jesus is teaching, and he says, "Do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer them the other one as well." And here's what we need to understand about this. Turning the other cheek isn't allowing people to abuse you. That's not what it is. It's refusing to escalate. It's mastering the moment and deciding that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, I will refuse to escalate. It's choosing to show restraint. It's mastering the moment, because that's what Jesus did in this moment. He mastered the moment. And when moments like this come for us, we need to ask ourselves, "What about me? How am I going to respond?" Because one of two things is going to happen. And write this down. This is one of the two things that's going to happen. Will I master the moment, or will the moment master me? Will I master the moment or will the moment master me? One of those two things is going to happen. Oh man, am I going to master the moment or is the moment going to master me? We can all play the look back game and if I would have done this, if I would have said this, if I would have done this differently. Let's just talk about today. Let's just talk about now. Let's just talk about moving forward. Am I going to master the moment or is the moment going to master me? Let's look back at the scripture. Look at verse 51 through 52. It says this, but one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Listen to the response of Jesus. Put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. I love how Matthew says, one of the men with Jesus. I was fascinated by this, and so I looked at the other gospel accounts of this story to see what the other gospel writers said. In the Gospel of Mark, gospel writer says, one of those standing near. It's nice. Luke says in his gospel, one of Jesus's followers. And then we get to the Gospel of John, and he just hits right. He just gets right to the point. He says, Peter did it. It's Peter. Drew his sword. He cut that ear off. Doesn't leave anything to the imagination. And Matthew, it says, one of the men with Jesus. Matthew's just really the better friend. He keeps it vague. He keeps it vague so that we're wondering. But I mean, you read this story and I can see why. Because Peter is heated. He's impulsive. He's reactive. And here is that thread again, right? He loses self-control, not slowly. He didn't rally the disciples to him and say, hey guys, thinking about pulling my sword out and cutting that guy's ear off. What do you think? Well, Peter, I mean, you know, it's probably not the right time. And you said a few chapters ago, but if you say so, Jesus, we'll put the nets down again. Peter's probably thinking, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's good. That's good. That's why we have these kind of conversations. Nope. Pulls a sword, slashes the guy's ear off suddenly. Self-control isn't lost slowly. Self-control is lost suddenly. And in this moment, Peter loses it suddenly. In this one moment, we see two completely different responses. One, Peter, is impulse. Just straight up, no self-control, no impulse control, reaction, impulse. The other reaction that we see in Jesus is spirit-formed self-control. That's what Jesus is demonstrating to us, what it means to be guided by the Holy Spirit in moments that we will experience like this. And it might not be that we have a sword and we're going to slash somebody's ear off, literally, but there are going to be moments like that when our self-control, we've got to ask ourselves, where are we at? And sometimes I think we can hear self-control and it means to just try harder. When you're grabbing the steering wheel and you're white knuckling it. That's what it means. Just be a better Christian. That's what self-control is. That's not, no. Self-control isn't just willpower. The truth is, self-control, if you think about it, is kind of an oxymoron. Because really the only way to have self-control, the only way to be self-controlled is to give the Holy Spirit control. That's the only way that we are going to be able to be self-controlled is to give the Holy Spirit control. And look at Peter in this moment. Jesus is right there. But Peter thinks, I've got to act. I've got to do something. I've got to make a point. And in this moment, he doesn't submit to the authority of Jesus. He's going to handle it. Which again, Pastor Brad talked about this a few weeks ago when Jesus says for them to throw the nets down on the other side of the boat. And he's like, look, we've been fishing all night, but if you say so, that is submitting to authority. Jesus, you do it your way. But in this moment, he's like, no, forget that. He does not submit to the authority of Jesus. He's going to handle it. And honestly, that is what we do. We think, oh, I've got this. I'm going to handle this. I'm not going to surrender to God in this moment. And just like Peter, we are walking around and we're chopping people's ears off. Moment after moment after moment. And maybe we don't even stop to ask ourselves, what would it look like for me to surrender control of this moment and be guided by the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we're just so out of control, we can't even consider that. And I gotta tell you, I was talking with our creative team this week. I've had moment after moment after moment this week where I have had to wrestle with my self-control because I've been tested. I've been provoked. I'll say just one word, and you all probably know where I'm going to go with this: insurance. I have been, oh my God, yeah, there we go. I have been on a journey this week with our health insurance, and boy, will that test your self-control. You can't slam the phone anymore these days. That's just such a shame. You just hold your phone and you push a button as if that satisfies the... No. I was on the phone this week and just trying to figure out health insurance things, and I talked to one lady. Her name was Sarah. So wonderful, so helpful. And she determined that I needed to be forwarded to another person in another branch, another office or something like that. And so she was so helpful, took down my information, forwarded me on. And then I talked to this other lady, and self-control. Will I master the moment or will the moment master me? Will I master the moment or will the moment master me? Like I'm practicing this in real time because it was dead end after dead end after dead end. And I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna hang up. I'm gonna call back and try to talk with someone else. And so I said, ma'am, can I know your name? She wouldn't give me her name. She wouldn't tell me her extension. And I'm like, okay, self-control. Will I master the moment or will the moment master me? Am I going to pull the sword out? Am I going to cut her ear off? Woo! It was just, woo! So I've got to call back early Monday morning. That's where we're at with that. Am I going to master the moment or is the moment going to master me? Talk about being provoked. We're all going to have moments like that. We got to ask ourselves, am I going to master this moment or is the moment going to master me? Because when we look at the life of Jesus and his response in this moment, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he mastered the moment. But I see Peter's response and I get it. Sometimes I've got the sword drawn and I'm just ready to let them have it. They deserve it. You don't know what they said. You don't know what happened. You didn't see what they did. I'm just ready to react. I'm sure we've all been in that place. So how do we put the sword away? And this isn't easy. And I'm not speaking from like I've arrived at this. Anybody that says they are, they're lying. So just kind of take that. Nothing good is easy. It's one thing for us to read this story and admire the response of Jesus for calling Judas friend. To be like, yeah, I'll just do that. I'll just call everybody friend. But then you walk out of here and life hands you a moment and your self-control is tested again. And remember, those moments come suddenly, right? They don't prep you ahead of time. They don't say, hey, put this on your calendar. In a week and a half, you're gonna have a very frustrating phone call with the insurance company. But a week and a half should give you the mindset to pray, to fast, and to prepare, to rally the saints. Just want you to be clear. No, that's not what life does. It gives us these moments suddenly. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit comes suddenly too. Those moments come suddenly. Whew, but so does the Holy Spirit. The way that we respond in the way of Jesus is to surrender control to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think that we feel like we have to put up this front of strength and I'm strong and I got this and I can do this. And self-control isn't about being strong. It's about being surrendered. That's what self-control is all about. And when we surrender, I know that in our human minds, in the natural, this doesn't make sense. But when we surrender, everything changes. Everything changes. Suddenly, everything changes when we surrender control to the Holy Spirit. In those moments when you feel yourself slipping, when you feel yourself starting to feel out of control, this is what I want you to do in that moment. Pause. Don't react. Don't retaliate. Don't try to get even. Pause. Pause and call upon the Holy Spirit. And here's a three-word prayer that I have prayed time and time again this week. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. I am feeling out of control. I'm feeling like I am scared for what I'm about to do, what I could possibly say. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. Help me calm down. I'm not thinking rationally. I'm out of control. Holy Spirit, help. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says that it's better for me to leave because who is to come? The advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we have available to us, church. The Holy Spirit. And we may feel out of control, but the Holy Spirit's not. The Holy Spirit of God can give us the self-control that we need suddenly in a moment. And I believe that there are suddenly moments, moments where the Holy Spirit gives you self-control that you did not have 5 seconds ago. And when that happens, suddenly you will not send that text message. Suddenly you pause. Suddenly you choose gentle response instead of a sharp response. Suddenly you just walk away. Suddenly you tell the truth. A question I've asked myself this week, and it's a question for all of us, is who's guiding my life? Is it me? Am I in control? Is it you? Are you in control? Or is it the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit control of your life? Because I know when I'm in control, the things that I produce when I am in control is absolute chaos. But when the Holy Spirit is in control, something entirely different is produced. Paul writes a letter to the early church, and this is what he said is produced. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Love. Holy Spirit produces joy. The Holy Spirit produces peace. The Holy Spirit produces patience. The Holy Spirit produces kindness. The Holy Spirit produces goodness. The Holy Spirit produces faithfulness. Gentleness. Gentleness in the way that what we say and in the way that we respond. The Holy Spirit produces self-control. This is who I want to be. This is what I want to be known for. This is who we all want to be. This is what we all want to be known for, and I promise you that is worth surrender. That's worth letting the Holy Spirit have control. That's worth letting go of any kind of control that we think that we have, which honestly, we're just fooling ourselves. That is worth the surrender. And may it be so by the power of the Holy Spirit who forms Christ in us.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.